welcome to the show on this Veterans Day. So for all you veterans out there, Ray and Tay, big shout out. Thank you for all that you've done. You're listening to
Definitely.
Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray. That's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. And you know what? We got a nice little show here for you. So come on and join the ride. 718-664-9098. And like always, we got to some emails last time. We might even sneak one in today. So hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. And if you're a new listener, it's RAEANDTAY today. And also the website is rayandtaytoday.com. Same thing with Facebook and Twitter, the multiple, I can't even talk, Ray, multiple media giants. Check out that website, man. A lot of good stuff. And I'm looking on the Ray and Tay Today site, and I'm looking at the BCS Top 25, which we'll get into later. The site looks good. And special shout-out to Dustin, man. He's the engineer behind the buttons, hooking us up with great stuff for the website. Yeah, definitely. And also our boy, the comedian we've had on our show, stand-up comedian, Sean Savoy, who's, you know, traveling abroad with Pablo Francisco, another friend to the show. So, you know, Ray and Tay, we got friends in high places. So, you know, we keep it moving. So, Ray, let them know how we're breaking down the show.
We got a lot going on today. So what we'll do is we'll be doing a lot of bouncing. Bounce with me. So we've got we'll go quickly through NASCAR. It's almost over, and it looks like Tay's boy is going to take it down. So we've got some NASCAR news. College basketball just started. Wow. I don't know if I'm ready. I mean, I'm ready, but I don't know if I'm ready. You know what I mean?
Really ready. We're not really ready.
So we'll talk about college basketball, and then we'll go a quick dribble around the NBA. We got some NBA happenings going on. We've got about most teams have played 6, 7, 8 games. So we've got stuff to talk about. And then we'll go NCAA football. We've got a new BCS standings, a little bit of a shakeup in the BCS. Some trash talking amongst a few of these top 10 teams. Then we get into NFL week 10. Oof, week
wow.
10. And you know why? This is why they play the game. So there were some upsets.
Yes.
There were some injuries. We'll
One that Ray called,
that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes,
sir. Yes, he did.
On
and maybe
the road.
Tampa does it tonight. We'll talk about that too, right?
Yep. And then we'll preview the Monday Night Football game tonight, Miami and Tampa. And then we'll take a super preview 3 days out of the Colts and the Titans on Thursday night.
Well, look, let's jump into it. I got to ask you, tell me how my man, JJ, I'll call him, you know what I'm saying? My man, Jimmy Johnson, is also very close. They were out here in Phoenix. I could hear them, but I didn't go see them. And, you know, Jimmy Johnson is very close to winning the Sprint Cup Chase championship for his sixth time.
What did it sound like?
Time.
Was it just like zoom?
It was like zoom, zoom, and of course, yo, as Ray likes to call him, Uncle Tal, Willie Beeman, William Truth, he was just like, he loves NASCAR. He's like, Daddy, I want to see the cars go again. So we'll have to take him to a live NASCAR event, which actually Tay's never been to. I've never been to NASCAR. I've never been to
hockey.
Oh, you
got to go. You got to go.
Can you imagine
it's
that?
No, you got to go. It's a fun time. So –
So tell me what's going on.
Jimmy Johnson. I mean, I don't know what to say other than Jimmy Johnson's the man. He finished third. The problem is Matt Kenseth finished 23rd. And so going into the race, they were very close. And now Jimmy Johnson
it's
has opened
over.
Up what should be a pretty insurmountable lead. He's up 28 points with one race to go, which means that Jimmy Johnson only has to finish 23rd or better to win this year's Cup, which would give him 6 in 7 years. So he won 5 in a row, and he didn't win last year, and they would win this. So if you win 6 out of 7, I mean,
he's like
you know, with all due respect, yeah, I was about to say, with all due respect to Kyle Petty and Dale Earnhardt, he's the best driver ever. I mean, I don't know how you could argue that. And then you need to start
he's
talking
getting
about
there. Yeah,
where does he rank in terms of dominating his sport?
Well, you know, it's so funny. Real quick, let's touch on that. I mean, you're going to have Bill Russell, MJ. You're going to have, you know, a lot of people would say, not Nadal, but Federer.
Wayne
you could
Gretzky,
throw in
maybe.
Gretzky.
In the early 80s with those early, mid-80s, I should say, with those
well,
with
and
those
then
Edmonton
Pat
Oilers.
Summit, the, you know, Pat Summit with
Tennessee,
the Tennessee,
yeah.
the women's Dino Tennessee,
Auriemma,
and then also.
Coaches.
Yeah, 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 and then UConn. So, I mean, look, we, you know, not disrespecting NASCAR at all, because reality is he's got to go in there, the greats of the greats. He definitely does. So, and speaking of the greats and the greats, we're projecting out, and everyone's been doing it, and potentially this in college hoops is the greatest, at least the deepest potentially, high school, you know, freshman in college basketball this year. So early on, basically almost game one or game two for most teams, you've got the championship classic on ESPN, right? So it's number one Kentucky against number two Michigan State. And then in the second game, no snoozer, the amazing Wiggins and Kansas going up against Duke with Jabari Parker. So, you know, it could be one and two potentially in the draft. So with those four guys, plus the Michigan State guys that came back, right, and what Kentucky's got to offer with Randall and their big class, you're talking about that's must-see Tuesday night for the whole nation
and
to watch
is,
that doubleheader.
And the thing is, everybody's in action, right? One, it's 1-2 Kentucky, Michigan State. It's 4-5 Duke, Kansas, like you said. Louisville's playing on ESPN3, and they're number three in the country. Even though you probably won't be able to see it, but Michigan's playing, Oklahoma State's playing, Syracuse is playing. So 7, 8,
Man.
9 are all playing, and then Ohio State's playing. So all the top 20, almost, it looks like 22, 23 of the top 25 are playing tomorrow night. So
that's incredible.
But phenomenal.
You know, so funny, like you said, you're not ready. It's kind of early, but I got to say, that's a can't miss for, like, you know, even if you're sort of not ready and your sports, you know, attention is, you know, NBA or, you know, for hockey fans, whatever, that one right there, I'm going to make myself ready. You know what I mean? Like, that one you can't miss, because that could be a prelude, honestly, to the Final Four. And if nothing else, those four teams are going to have their say in who cuts down the nets in April. So, you know, I'm getting excited. March Madness already in November, Ray?
Well, I don't remember. I got to be honest with you. Even in the NCAA tournament, the final game, or let's say the Saturday, I don't remember ever having on
yeah.
one day and 2 hours apart, having 1, 2, 5, and 4 play each other. You know, four
no.
of the top five teams play each other within, you know, back-to-back, basically, 7:30 and 9:30 p.m. So what, you know, if you're not playing.
Can I ask you a question about that? Don't you wish, and we'll get it a little bit, you know, next year, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll talk about college football soon. We're going to get to the NBA next. But don't you wish that college football sort of did this? Where even George Reister on our show in his new segment, Reister's Never Wrong, he kind of got at Alabama and SEC teams for, you know, maybe 8 or 9 conference games and then really 3 soft teams, you know, like Georgia State and all these different teams, right? But don't you wish the way that college basketball gives you and schedules such heavy hitters, you know, and they play
heavy
like 32 games or, you know,
hitter.
Anywhere from 28 to 32 games before the tournament, don't you wish that college football – you know, hey, Bama played Virginia Tech, but and we had Clemson, Georgia, so we get it sparingly. But don't you wish that you really got it where, like, why wouldn't, in the beginning of the season, Stanford play against LSU before they got into the, you know, Pac-12? I mean, that would be, ooh, one day
you
kind of want that.
I'll tell you why.
No. I mean, we know why, but.
You know why.
We know why.
The national champion can't be going into that game with more than one loss. So these guys
yeah.
are figuring, all right, we've got a hellish, you know,
Pac-12
schedule or
yeah.
SEC schedule. We can't.
Or any conference.
Right,
yeah.
Any big, you know, any major conference, we can't schedule these guys. You're right, but you know what? To their defense, to football's defense, it's the nature of football versus basketball. It's the nature of, you know, 27, 28 regular season games before you get to your conference versus,
yeah.
you know, 11 or 12. So it's unfair. It's unfair.
And you do earn it in a tournament on the court. And so next year, ladies and gentlemen, for those that don't know, we will have sort of a semifinals. You know, 1, 2, 3, and 4 will play it on the field. So this year, that would potentially be something like, you know, who knows right now, but, you know, Alabama against like an Ohio State and Florida State against a Baylor or, you know, whatever it turns out to be. But before we get to the college football, because we're headed there and we're keeping the show moving, we're bouncing. I like it. We're just boom, 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 moving. And that's how Ray and Tay do it for you. Let's talk about some of these injuries in the NFL real quick, because we're still sort of giving you the breaking news. And we know our boy Peyton Manning, you know, he's keeping it hush-hush because they got a big game at home against the Chiefs Sunday night football.
Jack Del Rio said he's playing.
No, he's playing, but I'm just saying in terms of, like, Peyton's jacked up getting the MRI with the ankle. Looks like our boy who killed me yesterday in fantasy, Jake Locker, can't stay healthy. Second year in a row, he's done for the season and got hurt yesterday and barely played in the game. The Packers, Seneca Wallace got hurt, and now Tolzien is the starting quarterback next week from Wisconsin. He came in there after Russell Wilson. I remember him. He could throw it around. Actually looked good yesterday for Packers in the loss. So Matt Flynn is going to work out for the Packers today to come in and maybe be the backup. I mean,
Jay
I guess
Cutler's
the quick question
out.
Is...
Keep going. Jay Cutler's out versus the Ravens.
No, yeah. Jay Cutler, who, and we will say this, right? Josh, you know, McCown, give him credit. He drove down, got the touchdown, you know, couldn't necessarily switch out of and maybe call the proper audible that Cutler might have done to get Marshall on a one-on-one on that last play, and he went ahead with the running play after the penalty, and Nick Fairley shut it down, and, you know, Detroit holds on to win. But, you know, Cutler, we don't know. Maybe he comes back this week. Maybe he came back a week early. But this goes back to what we talked about with the new, you know, contract, the collective bargaining agreement, and less practicing and all this different stuff. And you just wonder, going into the season, it was extremely high and more than ever when the stats sort of came out that, you know, players were tearing things and, you know, going into the season hurt, whether it was Harvin or Crabtree or all these, you know, multitude of guys. Speaking of Harvin, he is coming back. And I've got him on one of my teams, Ray. He's coming. He's expected to play week 11. So everybody, woo, woo, fantasy alert. If you got him, play him. Percy Harvin is back. But I just want to ask you, what do you think overall? Like, could it be that it's just like whoever is the healthiest out of the good teams could win the Super Bowl? I mean, you'd hate for that to be the case, right?
It could be, and you know, keep it going. Sean Lee, for example, hurt his hamstring.
Oh,
but that's one of those things where...
Your whole Cowboy defense.
I know. But
DeMarcus,
that's a week 10 thing, so I don't think that has anything to do with preseason already. I mean, if it happens in the first 3, 4, 5
no,
weeks,
no,
maybe.
You're right.
But week 10, that's just a freak accident. You might be right. It might be a war of attrition. And look at Aaron Rodgers. And these leagues, these teams, I should say, are so Super Bowl... You know, anybody that has Super Bowl aspirations, you have to have a good quarterback. And if that injury happens to your quarterback, then you have no chance. So I'm officially stating that the Green Bay Packers have no chance without Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, as far as injuries go, look at what's interesting. Here, take a team like Denver. They lost Ryan Clady, their left tackle. And then they lost Champ Bailey for a while. And then they lost, you know, a few other people. And even Thomas came back, the tight end Thomas came back, Julius Thomas came back.
Yeah.
And so you've got teams that are dealing with injuries, and like every season, you just have to figure out a way to deal with injuries. So I don't think, I'm trying to figure out if this season is worse than others. I don't think so. I mean, it's maybe high-profile people are getting hurt. And we're hearing about
it. It was in preseason and training camp, though. It definitely was.
Maybe.
It might not be now during
the season. 2 weeks ago when everybody kept falling. So I get that. But I think
it's rough, though. Like, if you're a Colt fan, it's rough because losing Reggie Wayne, it sort of changes your whole offense. And we saw it yesterday in the upset with the Rams, you know. I mean, just, you know, guys not being able to get open possibly quick enough for their quarterback, and Reggie Wayne, I mean, that's it's just sad. It's just sad. And you know what? We'll break down the NFL for you real quick. But you know what, Ray? Let's take a break and let's bounce the ball and take it to the hole for two. When we come back, Ray and Tay Today, NBA. Ray and Tay.
We're back, and we're back to talk NBA, the association, as some people call it. So far,
I got to ask you this. I'm hurting. I'm upset. I missed it on Sunday. Caught the rewind. Busy day. The Knicks got destroyed at the Garden after, prior to that at home, Bobcat loss, and then on the road Friday, a Bobcat win. We're 2-4. JR's return, you think it's going to be exciting. Yeah, no Chandler, but JR's back, and Bargnani looked good, and Amari, and da-da-da-da-da. And the Knicks put forth an effort that was, Danny Green, 24-10. The Knicks, it was disgusting, Ray. And to me, we're diehard Knicks fans. We're going to love them no matter what. And we just want a chip in our lifetime, right? 73, we were too young. You know, everybody's been winning. We need the Jets and the Knicks, and all New Yorkers would say this, right? The Rangers finally won. But we need the Knicks and the Jets to win. Giants have won, Yankees, Mets. What's up with the Knicks? And what did you think about just that smacking at home? Like, you almost feel like the home court, there's no juice right now in the building, at least with the effort that the Knicks are giving. Talk to me, man. Talk to me about the Knicks. Get me off of the ledge, please.
Okay. All right. I'll get you off of the ledge in a couple of ways. First, right, I'll say that Indiana 7-0, so kudos to them. That team is going
ridiculous.
To have to be dealt with. I don't know who's going to face them in the playoffs, but good luck, because those are some big
Everybody. Boys,
some trees.
And
Granger,
soreness in the knee. Soreness in the knee for Granger, so that's a mess,
Danny
too.
Granger, yeah, he's a young guy. You hate to see that. But put that aside. The next best team is 4-3. That's Philly. And the Knicks are 2-4. So, really, there's a game and a half separating 14 teams. So, don't worry about it. Nobody's running away with the division. And nobody's running away with the conference. So, in that respect, that should let you calm down. It's only been 6 games, 2-4. Having said that, and that's sort of what Carmelo said, but having said that,
right,
the Knicks have to figure out what their identity is, right? Carmelo comes out and says, my game has to change, I'm this, I'm that, and then he said, I pass too much, I need to be more aggressive. So he needs to figure out how he's going to lead this team, and the Knicks need to figure out, right, we talked about a blessing in disguise potentially is getting Andrea Bargnani more minutes, figuring out how he can give that what is really a other than Carmelo, not a very potent offense in the front court, especially, with you don't know what you're going to get out of Amari. So I think this is a time for the Knicks to do some experimenting, to figure out what they've got on offense, figure out their rotations on defense, let Woody do his defensive coaching. But, you got a month or two to do that, and then you got to start kicking it in gear. So I'm disappointed at 2-4, but I'm happy to see that other teams in the Eastern Conference are not running away with it. And, the Knicks, I got to be honest with you, I'm looking at this, I still look up and down this roster, and I say so many things have to turn right for the Knicks.
Yeah.
To win a playoff series. I don't even know if they get out of the first round. It may be too early to say that. But, look, I look at these other teams in the conference, and I'm thinking to myself, other than Carmelo, what do we have that gives other teams matchup problems, right? Last year in the beginning, it was D's and threes, We were playing defense. We were hitting those threes. We had a lot of energy. J.R. Smith was rejuvenated because he wasn't going out as much. He was growing up, and everything was great, and Amari was giving us some offense. And, Tyson will be back, so don't worry about that. But this year's team, it's like they're missing something, They're missing that spark. Maybe we need Anthony Donahue over there to jump on the court and, scream at those fans and get the fans involved. And maybe they'll energize the team.
And soon we'll have our guy on, man, our Nick, insider, Ian Bagley from ESPNNewYork.com, who, joined us a lot last season. He'll be back soon to join us this season. But I got to say, look, we're not the only one with struggles. There's other teams, you worry about sort of the Bulls scoring in their bench and D. Rose. Honestly, I don't think, you see Marco Bellinelli with the Spurs looking good, and I don't think that trade-off of necessarily having Dunleavy, although he has the length, when you lose Bellinelli, Nate Robinson, and this and that, and like you said, even in the previous show, you get back D. Rose, but I think when it comes to the playoffs, and even with D. Rose being potentially fragile with the injury, you got to have some serious backups in your bench, and Kirk Heinrich off the bench is great, but, he gets hurt a lot. I bet you this, right? I bet you this year before the trade deadline with, big free agents coming up again this year. It's been like the last 3-4 years the NBA has had a huge free agency. Well, a lot of these guys like Melo and Kobe and LeBron and all these guys, well, it's 2014 and they're going to be up again. And so I just think coming into the trade deadline this year, you'll see a couple of teams making, some moves. And trying to adjust and just fix their bench, that eighth and ninth man, for the playoff run. I got to tell you this, two things that I've noticed so far. Number one, our two MVP picks are right on schedule. We all know LeBron's the man, so we won't even have to talk about that. But Chris Paul, who I did, question, that's your pick, but I did question just in terms of when they have some of these losses, they look bad, and you question, who's going to get you the buckets when you've got, Griffin and the big guy who really, DeAndre Jordan, who don't make free throws, sort of just like Houston with Dwight Howard. And then so CP3's got to really take it over. And then my MVP guy, Durant, who's just been, last night in a 106-105 win over Bradley Beal, getting busy, dropping 30-something, like 36. They beat the Wizards, but number one, Westbrook's back. So that was earlier than maybe some thought. And, you even said you thought Westbrook, off air would be back pretty early, and he is, building up his minutes. But Durant, Chris Paul, and Kevin Love, Ray, they're trying to say, look, LeBron, this is not just your league. And I think it's exciting. As an NBA fan, you got to be excited because there's a lot of talent. And you know what? They're talking about NBA. I don't know if you read this article. Talking about NBA expansion. Maybe going from the 30 teams, more like the NFL, going to 32 teams. What do you think about that? And what do you think about the talent and how deep? I mean, if you look, honestly, there are some bad teams. But on the good teams and these rosters, they're 9-10 deep, right?
I'm greedy.
Could it be time for Seattle?
No.
Could it be time for
negative.
Seattle and Vegas?
Negative.
Or
negative.
Seattle and Louisville?
Negatory. Negative. Because here's what
okay.
I'm thinking. I mean, look, Seattle deserves a team, so I'm conflicted because they didn't do anything wrong. The Supersonics won a championship in the 70s. They
great
lost to Jordan in the 90s. They had Sean Kemp. They had, Gary Payton. They had Oklahoma City, right? They drafted Kevin Durant, and they had Ray Allen and Rashard Lewis, and they had some players up there. So
Gus
Seattle
Williams, downtown Freddie Brown. We go way back old school, too.
Oh, yeah, in the 70s
Dennis,
with the back-to-back
Dennis Johnson?
With Washington. Yeah, Washington and Seattle,
remember
they
Johnson?
Played each other and split, each one won a championship. So
yeah.
Seattle deserves a championship. Seattle deserves a team. You could argue Vegas would be very interesting, although I don't know how they'd work out the betting deal with them. But anyway, I would love to see, some of these cities get teams. However,
right.
There are too many bad teams in the NBA. So if you look at the bottom of the list of NBA teams and you say to yourself, okay, now, it may change this year with the draft because this draft may be a game changer. But you look at teams that are not very good. You look at, Sacramento. You look at Washington, Milwaukee, Orlando.
I'm about
they
to say, don't say Phoenix, baby. The 5-2 Suns are balling out. The Morris Twins.
But I don't know that that's sustainable, though. I don't know that that's sustainable. But Phoenix, you know, good for them. Minnesota, look, Minnesota got Love, Rubio. They've got some players now. I don't think the NBA should expand. Just keep it the way it is, especially because they've expanded this roster to like 15. So you've got an ability to absorb and play more players. I think 30 is fine. I really do. I don't think we're that talented a league that you can afford to add, you know, two more franchises, 30 more players. I don't think so.
Okay.
I like it just the way
it is. That's fair. And speaking of 30, let's switch to the number 25. That's my son William Truth's number, born on May 25th. 25 is his number, 1:25 p.m. So 25 is his number. And there's a top 25, Ray. And there's a three letters called BCS. And I'm reading it right now on rayandtaytoday.com, the BCS standings. And yeah, there was a kind of a big game on Thursday night, two of them. I don't know if anybody heard about it or anybody read about it, but this team called Stanford, and salute and shout out to a friend of the show, Coach David Shaw, who had his Stanford Cardinal take care of the Oregon Ducks 26-20, and like Ray said, it's misleading because they really could have won 26-10 or 7 because they had them, right? Well, guess what? Now, Bama won. They took care of LSU. Florida State is number 2 in the BCS. Ohio State, number 3. Stanford, 4. Baylor, 5. Oregon drops to 6. I'll just leave it at there. Give me your thoughts, your assessments. Did they get it right? And what are your feelings where we're at now in terms of going into week 12 of college football and the top 6 in the BCS?
You know what? I think they got it right. You can argue that potentially Stanford and Baylor could be swapped because Baylor's undefeated and Stanford's got that one loss to Utah, which is hanging around their neck as a little albatross.
Definitely. That's legit.
I get that. Oregon, should they have dropped to 6? Should they have gone farther? I think the 6 is about
they're probably
right.
The right spot.
Yeah, there are no one-loss teams ahead of them except for Stanford, the team that beat them. So I'm okay with that. You know what? What's good to me is that, to me, this year isn't that controversial in the sense that it's playing out on the field, and you still have a few more games, and Baylor still has a couple more games in that, in that Big 12. Tough games to justify that ranking, to justify that number 5 ranking. And, you know, if they
stay
undefeated,
move them up too, right?
Right.
And to potentially move them up to the chip game. If Florida State or Bama falters, that could happen.
Right. So that will be very interesting to me because I don't think if everybody wins out, I think that Baylor jumps Stanford because they will be undefeated. And then you'll have a situation where you've got – you know, the four big conferences, right, the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12 having an undefeated team. Now, that's ideal, and that would be solved next year with the playoffs.
Yes,
but,
with the playoffs.
You know, I don't think that will happen.
Playoffs?
Because all four of these conferences finally have a conference championship. So I don't know that we'll get four undefeated teams, you know, at the end of December, or at the, I guess what, first week after the first week in December. So I think it'll play out on the field. I don't think there'll be any problems. I think the BCS this year will take care of itself with
Alabama on
one side and somebody else
definitely
on the other side.
And I told you that Bama team, LSU and those the talent that they have. Your boy Mettenberger, Beckham, Hill. I told you I like Hill. He's nice. But Bama, Yeldon, I mean they are really ridiculous and just too much. And McCarron, actually, to me, I think McCarron has got to be in the Heisman Trophy voting. I think it's going to be Manziel, famous Jameis, McCarron, obviously Mariota, you know, and maybe, you know, Bridgewater or, you know, maybe our the guy at Baylor or maybe Braxton Miller's come back. We'll see how it plays out. But this is what I really want to ask you. Forget about the Heisman. I find this interesting. Number one, we got to give respect and props to two teams. Fresno State at 14 and Northern Illinois as they like to call them, NIU. Both of them at 9-0, ranked 14 and 15. That's great. Smaller conferences getting some love, along with UCF down there 17-7-1. But this is the question. With Baylor being at 8-0 and number 5, and they're out of the 3 or 4 games remaining, they've got number 12 Oklahoma State. They're going to play Texas, and they're going to play Texas Tech. Those teams have been, you know, Texas is number 24 right now, and Texas Tech, before they, you know, lost 2 in a row, were in the top 25, and as high as, what, I think 12 this year, or even 10 or 15. So they were up there. I think Baylor, legitimately, with their schedule, and Ohio State doesn't have much remaining, Michigan and possibly Michigan State in the Big Ten championship, do you think Baylor can leapfrog Ohio State and or Florida State just based on strength of their schedule and opponents alone if they win out?
Well, Bryce Petty's my guy, because I might have to adopt him like I did Johnny Manziel. If it weren't for Alabama having too much posse, I would say that there are two spots in the national championship open. But really there's only one, and that's the problem for Baylor, is that, you know, on any given year, an undefeated team says, well, I've got one of these spots potentially that I'm going to take. But it looks like Alabama's going to take one. So you can't finish third. You have to finish second. And the Baylor team, again, let's play this scenario that everybody wins out. The thing is, Baylor has 4 good games on their schedule. They have 3 really, really weak games to start the season. They started off with Wofford, Buffalo, and University of Louisiana Monroe.
Buffalo Soldier. Yeah.
Exactly. So before they started the Big 12 schedule, they had those 3 teams. So that was like joke number 1, joke number 2, joke number 3.
Bama did too, though.
Right. The problem for them is that they then play West Virginia, K-State, Iowa State, Kansas. So their first 7 games are really against, you know, 3 cupcakes and then 4 weaker teams in the Big 12. And then their last 5 games are what you said. They end up Oklahoma, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State. So 3 top 25 teams, I mean 2 teams that are now in the top 10, and then TCU and Texas. So the voters will – I mean, the good thing for them is they'll be fresh in the voters' minds in terms of that. And, you know, they may have, you know, another
top 25
game. And Florida
State plays a weak
Florida championship.
They're playing a weak Florida this year in the Florida State-Florida rivalry. So that also helps them, too. You got to consider that. Florida State's schedule is kind of weak. I think they got Idaho in there, you know. I mean, and Wake Forest. So those their last 3 games, we'll see how it plays out. But I just wanted to throw that at you because, honestly, you hate to see teams, right? You know, we're 1 year away, right? We're so close to it being on the field. But, you know, Baylor, I think that they're earning it. And this is the question, right? You know the Iron Bowl is coming up with the classic between Alabama and Auburn, right? War Eagles, Roll Tide every year. And so the question is, there's only really 2 more shots for Alabama to stumble. That game and then potentially versus Missouri in the SEC championship. So if Missouri or Auburn don't trip them up, you know, it's really going to wind up being, you know, probably, because I don't think Ohio State's schedule jumps even Florida State. So if Baylor doesn't get the love from the voters and the computers, it's going to be Bama, Florida State. And honestly, with Florida State's defense being, I think, a lot better than people realize, and you want to see this great potential future NFL quarterback, famous Jameis, might be a fun game, Ray. Might be a fun game.
Here, but
so,
here's
look,
the problem, though. You give Alabama and Coach Saban, what is it, 40 days, 50 days to prepare?
I'm betting
on Coach Saban every time.
Nah, he's jigged a genius. He's definitely jigged a genius. But let's do it, man. I mean, famous Jameis takes us there, leads us, you know, right to where we want to go. We're going to go and not just review the games that we previewed, we're going to break down sort of everybody playing eight games, and we got, you know, Miami and Tampa, you know, which you can't sleep on since Jacksonville beat the Titans this week, and maybe Tampa gets their first win, which on Friday's show, go listen to it, Ray predicted it. Ray picked the Jaguars, upsetting the Titans, so we give a shout-out to Ray. But looking at the NFC, we're going to go there first. Last night, the Saints kind of smacked up your Cowboys. I call it Rob Ryan's revenge because he was sort of a scapegoat. He probably should not have been fired considering the Cowboys' talent on their defense and the injuries last year. Well, they have, you know, Kippen and a lot of injuries this year. So at 7-2, the Saints stand, you know, up there in the NFC South and, what, 49-17, looking good offensively and defensively, handle your Cowboys. We're going to start in the NFC East. This division, which we both sort of said in the beginning of the year, anybody could win it. I mean, Ray, it's really close, and it's a close kind of mess. The Giants win. The Redskins lost on Thursday night. The Eagles win at Green Bay, which, you know, I thought they would. And you've got basically a crazy tight race. Cowboys 5-5, Eagles 5-5. Giants only two games out, right, or really one and a half, and they play everybody still left at 3-6. Redskins 3-6. Right now, when we look at it today, what are your thoughts with the NFC East? And do you think Week 17, Cowboys-Eagles, will decide the division?
Absolutely. That's the game. To me, that's the game. Right now, the Cowboys are on bye this week, so they're 5-5. They're going to at least be one in the loss column ahead of the other teams in the division. Now, the Cowboys are also 3-0 in the division, so that helps a lot.
Right.
The Eagles are 5-5. The Giants are 3-6, and Washington's 3-6. So, to me, let's assume 8-8 wins the division, right? So, if 8-8 wins the division, the 3-6 teams would have to go 5-2, difficult to do, and the 5-5 teams would only have to go 3-3. And I think that's what's going to happen. So to me, Dallas or Philly win the division, and I think it comes down to that last game. It's as simple as that. I mean, it's more complicated than that, but we're boiling it down to that last game because I don't know that the Giants and Washington, who are the Giants are
well, they do play
the
a banged up Green Bay next week, so that could be four in a row with Scott Tolzien starting. So look at the Giants potentially at 4-6. I mean, we want to, you know, jump the goose or whatever, but, you know, that's a good sign. And they still play in their division, you know, a bunch of times.
And they're 1-2 in the division, so they actually have to leapfrog. They got to win a couple games at least in the division in order to get that, and they have to go 5-2. So
I agree with you. It's going to be Cowboys-Eagles Week 17 for the title, and the winner goes to the playoffs and the loser goes home. Because they're not going to – no team in this division and in this conference will get a wild card.
No, negative.
Okay, so from there, let's look at the NFC North. Yesterday, great game. You know, we kind of gave you a little prelude of it with the whole McCown and Jay Cutler. And, look, you know, no one will ever question Jay Cutler again. He's got a lot of heart. But you got 6-3 Detroit, 5-4 Packers, and 5-4 Bears. So the Bears first, then the Packers. And then the Vikings, they're pretty much done, 2-7. You know, they beat the Redskins on Thursday, and, you know, kudos to them for that. So I got to say, the Lions' schedule in the second half is looking, you know, a little bit easier. And, you know, the Ravens next week match up with the Bears. And if the Bears are sort of banged up the way they might be, this might wind up being, and Aaron Rodgers may be out 3 to 4 weeks. This might be the Lions division, and we might not get a wild card from here. We'll see. What do you think about this division?
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers going down. Aaron Rodgers going down changes the complexion of this division. It turns it on its head, and also Jay Cutler being hurt, I think, really hurt Chicago. So you might be right that the only because you got to figure Seattle and San Francisco are going to go to the playoffs, right? So the loser of that, which looks like San Francisco right now, is going to be one wild card. So you're really only talking about one more wild card. So
and
at
it might
this
come
point,
from the NFC South. We'll
I was about
to
say, at this point in time, it might be Carolina, who we offer an apology to at winning 5 in a row. So they're 6-3 right now, and I can't imagine Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers doing much more than 500 football right now. So write them off. So it'll probably come down to the Bears and the Panthers for that second wild card spot.
Right. And that's going to be interesting just because of health. And honestly, right now, you could throw it up in the air and say the Panthers and the Seahawks have the best two defenses in the NFL. But, quiet as kept, Bruce Arians and Fitzgerald, Patrick Peterson, and the boys, Campbell and the boys, Arizona Cardinals out here, are 5-4 and might have something to say, Ray, about that wild card. So don't sleep on them. And yeah, well, look, I mean, the one problem is they've had 5 home games, so they're 4-1 at home and only, 1-3 on the road. So they're going to have to sort of step it up on the road, and it will have to be a wild card because they're 0-3 in the division. But I really – if Carson Palmer can limit the turnovers, that defense is playing really, really strong. And how about the St. Louis Rams at 4-6? Whoever thought – that not only they'd smack the Colts in Indianapolis, but that Kellen Clemens, the Jets reject, would be almost better than Sam Bradford and spark the team, and the third and fourth string running back, Zach Stacy and Cunningham, would be leading the way running. I mean, give me your thought on Jeff Fisher and his, Chris Long-led St. Louis Rams defense. They're solid.
Yeah, you know what? St. Louis is 4-6. St. Louis just happens to be in the wrong neighborhood, right? If they were not in that NFC West, which is just brutal, they might have a chance to win one of these divisions. They're a good team. Now, this is a build confidence and build teamwork and camaraderie type of season because, once Sam Bradford goes down, you got to figure they're not going places. But Zach Stacy.
And they're a year or two away from being legit.
Yeah, and so if their defense is solid, which it is, and then you got to figure Zach Stacy's a find as a rookie running back on offense because everybody's like, oh, my God, Steven Jackson. And even we were saying, hey, without Steven Jackson, Darryl Richardson, we don't know how good that
is. Isaiah P., both of them have been bust. So Zach Stacy is a jewel, right?
Good
I mean,
for him.
You got to believe
that. Now you got Tavon Austin, who I don't think is going to have, a Megatron type of career. But if you can get that guy in space, he's very exciting. So at worst, he's Teddy Ginn. And at best, he's, I don't know. He's Deshaun Jackson at best, right? So he'll probably be
Amendola
somewhere
maybe.
In the middle. But that's very exciting to have two young studs on offense and get Sam Bradford back to go along with Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher can coach D and get the most out of his defense. So you're happy if you're a Rams fan. Even though your quarterback went down, you're salvaging this season. And even though it might not seem like it, but you're building for the future. So I'm happy if I'm a Rams fan right now.
And two things. So, number one, big shout-out to Cam Newton. And that 10-9 win in San Francisco, the defense and picking off Kaepernick in that last drive, you feel bad at Vernon Davis. Joe Terps, went out with a concussion, killed me in fantasy with that. But when the Panthers and the Colts both go into San Francisco and beat them at home, number one, it says something about those teams. But then number two, it makes you wonder about that matchup coming up against the Seahawks at the Niners. And then this week, Saints and 49ers, Ray. That is going to say a lot. And let me tell you something about the Saints. Even though they are clearly the stars of the NFC South at 7-2, with Carolina one game behind and the Saints' schedule in the second half is brutal. I mean, they're playing the Seahawks. They're playing the Niners. They have another game with the Panthers. The Saints have got to earn it. They're definitely going to have to earn this division title this year. So I think that's going to be fascinating. Before we go to the AFC, I got to ask you this, though. Let me just shoot this at you. How disappointing for two playoff teams from last year are you sort of just totally disgusted by Mike Smith and our boy Frazier, who were both up for Coach of the Year last year, with the Falcons and the Vikings, and the Vikings at 2-7, and the Falcons, who should have done the right thing and traded Gonzalez to the Chiefs and let him, be in the playoffs at 2-7. What do you say to those fans, the Vikings and the Falcons fans, and just the type of season they put up.
Well, to the Viking fans, I say be excited about your new home field because this team is not very exciting. And this league is built around quarterbacks, and I hate to break it to the Vikings fans, but you don't really have any good quarterbacks on your roster. I mean,
and
you
Freeman's
made the move
not it. That's not
for
it.
Josh Freeman. You made the move for Josh Freeman, and he was not the answer. And the other two are very serviceable backups.
Ponder.
But and here's the urgency. Adrian Peterson's come along once in a generation, and he's taking a lot of hits, and he cannot continue to face eight in the box and still be effective. So
your defense is getting older.
Your defense is getting older, and Adrian Peterson's getting older. So you got to do something.
So then,
let
me ask you then: do you trade? Do they trade for a quarterback, or do they try to get one in the draft? Because trying to build up another rookie. Let's say trying to, you hope you get a Luck or Griffin or Russell Wilson, but what if you get Manziel or Teddy Bridgewater and they're not instant coffee? Then the Vikings are sort of another 2-3 years project building,
which Adrian
Peterson
doesn't have.
Right, and then your defense and Peterson are like, ugh, and Greg Jennings is older. This is do or die. And then for the Falcons, who have sort of tasted finally a playoff victory, with as poor as their defense is, and Gonzalez is going to retire, and Steven Jackson just, you don't know if he'll ever be back. Where do they go, and have we seen the rise of the Falcons?
So I'm less worried about the Falcons because I think the Falcons have a foundation. They got to get a running back,
right.
But the Falcons have a foundation. The offensive line is solid. Roddy White's getting hurt a lot, but Julio Jones, who had an injury coming into college and then had an injury after college and then had an injury now. So I'm a little worried about Julio Jones, but let's say he stays healthy. And, of course, Matt Ryan, right? So those young studs – I guess in football terms, Roddy White's a middle-aged stud. They're okay. You got to worry about defense because this was the year.
No
so take the offense aside, right? I blame this season on the collapse of – it started with Julio Jones going down – or Steven Jackson going down, and then Julio Jones going down. But let's assume the offense was good. The defense was still going to be terrible, and they knew that. And so
and they didn't even attempt to improve it.
That's what's disappointing, right? They had Babineau and Grimes and they let Abraham go, and so they had some chips, but they didn't really add to it. They didn't make moves. And I'm okay with trying something and it doesn't work out, but it's as if they didn't even try. They said we were 13-3 last year, 12-4 the year before. We don't need to try anything. We got Matty Ice. And it was like,
really? And you can't just bring back Gonzalez and then sign OC when you lose Abraham and then think that's it. And your secondary, you lose some players. If I'm a Falcons fan, I'm upset and I'm frustrated. And you wasted the last year of Gonzalez. But let's go to the AFC East where, tonight you've got the Dolphins. Pretty interesting, the whole situation. We won't touch it. Let the soap opera play out and we'll give you the final answer and synopsis with Incognito, the Dolphins, and Martin. But the Dolphins are 4-4. You've got the Patriots at 7-2, which is kind of amazing with all the injuries and what they've gone through and, Gronk and Hernandez. And, they're 5-0 at home. They just don't lose at home, Ray. But how about Rex Ryan and the Jets at 5-4, definitely alive in the AFC wild card, and you got to believe the Dolphins should win tonight and be 5-4, and then the Bulls at 3-7. The AFC East, would you say it's already locked that it's the Patriots, even though they play the Broncos and have some tough games remaining? You think the Patriots lock this down, and then if the Jets or Dolphins do anything, it would be in the wild card position?
So, yes. The Patriots win this division. I think that's book it, right? So unless Tom Brady goes down. But book that, and then you got to figure in the playoff wild card, especially if Miami wins today, how crazy would it be after 9 games, the Jets and Miami, if the season were to end right now? I don't know how the tiebreaker works between the two, but one of those two teams would be the wild card because, Kansas City would win the West. Denver would take
the first
wild card spot, and
yeah.
then you have no other teams above 500. The only two teams above 500, I mean, besides the division winners, right? So you got New England, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, and Kansas City are all above 500. And then it's Denver, the Jets, and Miami are the only other teams. So you have seven teams above 500.
And that tells me, as a Steeler fan, we still got a shot, baby, 3-6. But, hey, but for Cleveland fans, they've got to be ecstatic, because even with losing Wheaton's not your guy, you lose Hoyer, and Campbell's come in and actually been pretty decent, the Cleveland Browns defense and trading away Richardson, they still are smelling the playoffs. So we talked about the AFC East and, you know, the Bills, E.J. Manuel, 3-7. They're building for the future. It's a shame because I like the Bills' defense this year. Steelers, we smacked them up yesterday. You know, big win. It was really 23-3, and they got the last touchdown to make it 23-10 or whatever. But you said the Bengals, and this is my question. They're at 6-4. Probably should have played better and beat the Ravens, but, you know, it was a miracle, you know, A.J. Green, the tip, get the touchdown, overtime, and so poetic justice, the Ravens should have won that game. The Bengals and the Ravens, neither one of them played like they wanted to win it. So then you've got the Ravens and Browns. The Browns and Ravens at 4-4, Steelers 3-6. So I think all those teams are still around for the wild card, but would you say the Bengals are clear-cut the division winner? I think it's still got to be played on the field. And this week, the Bengals and Browns play each other, which the Browns won the first matchup.
Right. I think this matchup goes a long way to the Browns making a statement in this division. And maybe even, you know, they're like the Indianapolis Colts Jr. You know, if they can – they're this team that was terrible – and now suddenly people are looking at them saying, wow, they can play some defense. And then if a couple of things break on offense, and if Josh Gordon can get the ball in the open field, and Jordan Cameron, this team can do some things. So I think
sure
this
like
game is huge. I believe Cincinnati wins the game, and I believe Cincinnati avenges their earlier loss. And basically,
right, and they better. They're 1-2 in the division, Ray. They better win it. This is the issue. If Andy plays bad, which he's done in the three losses, in their four losses, then they lose. If Andy plays good, which he has, and their six wins, they win.
Bothersome to me because they have a good defense. Geno Atkins went down, so that's a bad break. But they have a good D. They have a solid running game. They have skilled position players. So you shouldn't need to rely on Andy Dalton that much. I mean, he'll have to win you a game here or there. But it shouldn't be as Andy Dalton goes, the Cincinnati Bengals go. They have a good enough team where they should be winning consistently.
Yeah, definitely. So let's go to the AFC South. The Colts, bad loss, but I think – it's them, you know, not underestimating the Rams, but I think the Rams just have that perfect team with the defense in the corners where they could really disrupt what the Colts want to do. The Colts basically have no running game. Donald Brown probably should start over Richardson. He's definitely played better. They're at 6-3. You realize now with Locker out and Fitzpatrick's not the guy, nobody's going to get a wild card in here. The Tennessee Titans at 4-5 are pretty much done. They lost to the Jaguars at home. You can't do that. The Texans, they had to win that game, and that was bad. And I like Case Keenum, but you got to beat the Cardinals in that situation, and they just couldn't get it done. J.J. Watt was my pick from, you know, Defensive Player of the Year, and he played like a monster yesterday, Ray, but he hasn't showed up. And the Jaguars, it's a shame, but at least they get their win at 1-8. Shout out to, you know, George Reister and his ex-team, the Jaguars. So tell me real quick, what do you think about the Colts as far as we know they're great wins, but they've had some pretty bad losses. And without Reggie Wayne, are they still legit? I don't know if they're legit anymore.
I don't know that they're legit to win, you know, big time. I think they're legit to be a presence, and they can beat anybody on any given Sunday. I don't know, you know, they're probably looking good, especially with Tennessee. You know, what a year for them in terms of Tennessee falling, Houston and Jacksonville just being terrible this year. So they're going to win that division. I don't know that they win.
Maybe by default, yeah.
By default, right? I don't know that they win a wild card game. They may or may not. But you know, to me, that's a franchise on the upswing. Losing Reggie Wayne's a big deal. But they're still a solid team. I mean, I like that team. And like we said a week or two ago, that's a team that travels. I mean, they play well on D. They got a tough-nosed quarterback. They can do some things. And then, like you said, if you can get a little more out of Trent Richardson and Donald Brown, that running back combination, I really like that team in close games. So good team to watch, fun team.
And you're going to need more from Kobe Fleener, though, Ray. Because, look, Darius Harris.
You know, I know. I got him on fantasy. So
no,
you know,
I know. I got him on one of my teams. But also Hayward Bay. Hayward Bay dropped a couple of passes yesterday, and it's frustrating to watch him. You know, he's a terp. I got to shout him out, but he's got to catch the rock. And they've got to find a number two receiver because T.Y. Hilton is the truth. Fleener's got to step up, but he needs help. And so I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be Brazil or Hayward Bay or, you know, another young cat, but they're gonna need someone to stretch the field and get open or else. Because, honestly, Andrew Luck is getting knocked on his butt. The offensive line is not good, not good at all. So let's go to the AFC West. This is the Champions Division. I think the AFC championship game or the AFC representative could very easily come out of the AFC West. You're looking at a matchup this week where KC at 9-0 at first place goes to the kind of banged up Peyton Manning and Denver Broncos at 8-1. And then don't sleep, the Chargers are still around. And, yeah, they lost to the Broncos, but at 4-5, they're still around for the second AFC wild card, which would be amazing. And then the Raiders, they lost, you know, to the Giants. But I think they're on an upswing because I think they have a quarterback. I think Terrell Pryor has just got to get the mechanics down and just really learn the position. But if he gets some real talent around him and McFadden could ever stay healthy, I think the Raiders will develop. You know, they're still healing from all the poor draft picks from Al Davis. So tell me in the AFC West, you know, we could, you know, sink our teeth into it, the Sunday night game, and we'll preview it obviously on Friday. But where do you see this division going with the Chiefs and Broncos?
So, look, it'll be decided in 3 weeks because they play each other two times in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So
throwing a Patriot matchup in there, too.
Right.
The Broncos.
A Patriot sandwich right there between the KC – you know, KC, Patriots, KC. So, look, I think Denver's the better team ultimately because I think they're more explosive on offense and their D is obviously not as good, but I think that they can do enough on defense. So I actually like the Broncos ultimately to win this division. I think that they will. I'm going to go out on a limb and say they'll take both from Kansas City. Even though that's not popular, I'm going to think that if Peyton Manning's leg holds up, they take both, and then they may lose to Kansas. They may lose to the Patriots in between, but it's quite possible that if they take both, then they'll win the tie break, and then they'll finish in a tie with Kansas City, and Denver will go on and win this division.
I think they split. And I don't know which one it is, but I think they split. And it might just be even at Denver just because this week Manning might be too banged up and the Chiefs have had, you know, the time off. Now, maybe that breaks up their rhythm, but, you know, we'll definitely see how that works out. And, you know, listen, we're breaking down the NFL for you, and we'll continue to do it. And Friday we'll break down week 11. But right now, and we'll preview Thursday, but right now we got to talk about Monday Night Football. Hank, our friend and one of our, you know, best callers, consistent callers too, Dolphins against Tampa Bay. I'm going to just break it down like this. I need Heartline to get busy in fantasy, so that's what I really care about in this game. I think the Dolphins, with all this controversy and all this stuff, they kind of just show it on the field. I think they got some confidence in beating the Bengals, and I think they might embarrass Tampa Bay. But Tampa's got some young talent, and we'll see what Glennon can do. I'll go for 24-13, maybe 24-16, but I'll say 24-13, Miami beats Tampa Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I agree. Tampa is, you know, they played well last couple weeks, well enough to win, but I think Miami takes out their frustration on them and they win 27-17.
Okay, now going to Thursday night, this is going to be fun. It's, you know, Colts, Titans, believe it's in Tennessee. And, you know, with maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick has one more game in him. I say no. I think the Colts get their revenge and sort of rise up after that bad loss with the Rams and the Colts on Thursday Night Football on NFL Network. They win 26-20.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the Colts bounce back. I don't know that they are happy with their season. They're in first place, up two games, but they can really clinch this division with a win at Tennessee, and they've been a good road team. They've traveled well, so I think that they really put it on Tennessee. I think Tennessee has a bit of an identity problem. Chris Johnson's never really done anything this year, so I like for Indianapolis to win big. I think they win 30-20. 30-17 even. I'll say Tennessee's going to have trouble scoring.
Oh. Okay, and look out for Sean Green in that game. So basically, you know, it was an interesting week for fantasy football. Ray and I are both, you know, sort of on losing streaks in our league, real ball, and Ray's been killing it in the Ray and Tay League, and I've been just, you know, throwing up duds. But listen, we'll be back on Friday and give you some more of the hoops. We'll talk about those great college games from Tuesday and, you know, preview Friday, next week's college and NFL games and, you know, just have some more fun. So salute to the veterans and another great show. And, Ray, hey, shout out to all the Bronx Science people. I know Ray had his 25th, right? Was it your 25th high school reunion? Wow. Goodness gracious. So shout out to all my science friends and you know, science, humanities, and LaGuardia. We were all pretty close in the late 80s, early 90s. So we shout out all the schools in New York City. Also, we can't forget about Stuyvesant crew. So, hey, thanks for talking sports with friends. Oh, and William told me to tell you he's coming for you in our ESPN Pigskin Pick'em. Ray has caught up and tied William for third place. I'm behind Hank in, like, fifth place. But William and my four-year-old is tied for third place.
Bring it on,
Uncle
Tom.
So, he's ready for you. He said he's gunning for number one. So,
okay.
And I shout out Adam, my friend John Marchese's son, for number one. So great show, and hope the Knicks step up, and soon maybe we have a Nick guest for you, a little tease.
We're working on it.
We're working on it. And yeah, Ray and Tay, we do big things. So thanks for talking sports with friends. We're out.
Yeah.
Peace. Got to end it with a little freestyle. I'm kind of feeling it. I'm a little tired, but I'm so inspired. Don't you understand? The shots are fired. It's Veterans Day, so lyrically I don't play. I feel this track, so I spit the poetry. It's off the top, that means the style is free. And that means, honestly, I should be charging thee. The fee is 20 an hour. Don't you understand that I rhyme with power? The lyrical shower as I spray, don't play. Don't you understand it's Ray and Tay? We've been friends since back in 80-something. Don't you understand this music is bumping? Yeah, son, you need to check out the site, rayandtaytoday.com. It's I-I-I. And also tweet at us. Don't you understand sports knowledge is marvelous? Like my boy Marvin Hagler. That's right, on the mic, I will grab ya. Off the top of the brain and the dome, I am ill on any microphone. Peace. Incomplete. Ray, Tay, today.